Animals Today Radio is made possible in part by a generous grant from International Society for Animal Rights, ISARonline.org. Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Did you catch the recent episode of Stossel on Fox News called Green Tyranny? This actually is a follow-up to a show aired in 2013 when he argued that government agencies were overreaching, preventing development of private land to protect prairie dogs and frogs, in which he explored the high price of green energy in Germany and Denmark, and also discussed why electric cars may not be as good for the environment as claimed. This month's episode covered the EPA rejecting a silver and gold mine license, Hollywood's promoting a green agenda, children being afraid about global warming, and other topics where he generally bashes environmentalism. But why did he include a segment defending SeaWorld and its treatment of animals and criticizing the film Blackfish on this episode? Well, I could speculate, but it really doesn't matter. He did it, and basically tried to counter much of the film's points about captive orcas and the operations at SeaWorld. Was he in any way accurate? Here to help us find out is Dr. Lori Marino, who you probably know appeared in the film and who is founder and executive director of the Camellus Center for Animal Advocacy. Hey, Lori.
Hi.
Lori, okay, so what was your general impression of Stossel's segment about Blackfish and SeaWorld?
Well, my impression was that it was a very incomplete segment. There were a lot of information statements made that really weren't quite accurate. And I went on the show to simply provide the factual information to counter some of the statements and claims that SeaWorld was making.
Stossel thinks you and I are green tyrants, and watching the show, I'm thinking he has a cold heart. Are you a green tyrant, Lori?
I'm not a green tyrant. I am a scholar advocate, and I think that the whole notion of green tyranny is a really good way to get people to watch a TV show. It's kind of outlandish, but, you know, I mean, I guess that's what you do when you're in show business. My purpose was simply to come on, provide the information that the viewers needed to decide for themselves whether or not SeaWorld was telling the truth.
And don't a lot of people who advocate for green energy also advocate for animals? So who can blame them for lumping them all together?
I suppose so. I think, again, it's a way to attract attention.
Yeah.
Very similarly, SeaWorld and, you know, other members of the marine mammal captivity community use the word extremist when describing my colleagues who are advocates or activists for marine mammals. The word extremist gets more attention. And if that's what you want, then you're going to use over-the-top language like that.
Exactly. Lori, let's talk about some of the specific things alleged concerning blackfish. Are baby whales taken from their parents or pods in the wild? And does the film make that claim?
Blackfish shows that SeaWorld has taken a baby orcas from their mother in captivity as well as in the wild. So actually all of the original orcas that SeaWorld had were obtained from the wild, actually the population that they took many from is now endangered, partly because SeaWorld took mothers and babies and depleted that population. That's the population off of the coast of British Columbia. In the captivity, SeaWorld separates mothers and calves all the time.
Right.
So the claim that they don't do that anymore is absolutely false. I can think of several in the past few years, several instances where mothers and immature calves have been separated and sent to different facilities.
Lori, Stossel claims that Blackfish made SeaWorld look like animal abusers. And he's like, how dare you accuse anyone of abusing animals? The film does indeed make that argument.
The basis of the film Blackfish is not to make claims about who's an animal abuser. It's about showing what happened and what continues to happen at SeaWorld when it comes to orcas. I don't think that there is any other agenda other than to expose the real practices of a place like SeaWorld. However, the fact is that regardless of whether SeaWorld is are animal abusers or not, or whether they mean to be or not, it doesn't matter. The fact is that orcas don't belong in that setting. They know it, and the public is starting to realize that. So all good or bad intentions aside, it doesn't work. You cannot fit a square peg into a round hole, and that's exactly what SeaWorld is doing by keeping orcas in captivity.
Lori, another allegation in Stossel's segment is that Blackfish depicts events that did not happen. To your knowledge, is that true or false? And an example was the vocalizations of a baby crying upon being taken away from her mother.
Yeah, I think that was kind of a cheap shot. The reason is just because surely, you know, there aren't people there with video cameras every minute of the day to you know, document what happens. And that mother and calf were indeed separated. And she did indeed emit those horrible cries and became very agitated. But, you know, if her cries were not recorded at that time, then it's common practice to substitute the cries of another orca mother who is missing her baby. That's done, you know, on TV. It's done in films. There's nothing that's meant to be deceptive there. It's just a fact of life that you don't have a video camera with you all of the time. But what they are doing is trying to suggest that somehow we created, or the producers and directors created artificial sounds or sounds that are not normally made by orcas, and that's absolutely untrue. Those are real sounds made by orcas, and they're not fictitious. That's what actually happens when they separate mothers and calves.
Well, you got it right. It was a cheap shot.
Yeah.
Lori, talk about the dorsal fin collapse and its relationship to captivity, because Stossel does not really allow a clear debate on this topic.
And there really is no debate on this topic, as there really is no debate on the whole issue of welfare of orcas in SeaWorld. It's terrible, the scientific evidence just shows that over and over again, and it's becoming increasingly difficult for them to deny that fact, quite frankly. But the dorsal fin issue in particular is one that has been settled already. The fact is that almost all male orcas in SeaWorld and in other marine theme parks have collapsed dorsal fins, and a very tiny percentage of those in a natural setting do. So there's a real, you don't need statistics for that.
Right.
It's clear. And the reason is because in captivity, they spend so much time on the surface that their very tall dorsal fins just start to flop over because they're not held up by the force, the pressure of the water, the way they are in the wild. And what that means is that they are being in captivity. They're being forced to behave in a way that they wouldn't naturally behave in if they had their choice. Orcas spend most of their time submerged And they're like that because that's how they evolved, that's how they're adapted to their natural setting, and that's what they want to do. And they're not allowed to do that, and the result is a collapsed dorsal fin. But I think it's really important for people to understand that it's not really the collapsed dorsal fin that's the problem. The collapsed dorsal fin is simply a symptom of a much bigger welfare problem, which is the fact that they cannot use a water column and that they are physiologically unable to use the depth of the water the way they can in a natural setting.
Thank you for explaining that. Don't go away. We're speaking with Lori Marino about marine mammals in captivity and a recent Stossel show. We'll be right back after the break.
As temperatures climb, please remember never to leave your dog in the car, even for just a minute. Because even with the windows cracked and your car parked in the shade, the temperature inside can climb up in a matter of minutes, high enough to kill your pet. If you love your dog, leave them at home. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a minute to save their life. Here are a couple steps you can take. Make an announcement in the store or business that the car is parked nearest to. Also, call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two for a dog to get seriously ill or die in a car on a warm day. So swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. So never leave a dog or any animal inside a car on a warm day, not even for a minute. This message is brought to you by Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at AIAnimals.org. That's AIAnimals.org.
Attention invention and gadget lovers. Join our invention testing club called the Da Vinci Club. Every month, we're going to send you a brand new gadget, a brand new invention, things that are not on the market before, and you fill out a couple questions, and you get to keep the invention. Maybe the invention's the new octa-core tablet that's coming up. Maybe it's the new garlic cutter. Every single month, you'll get a brand new invention, and the value could be several hundred dollars or $20, $30. Every month, it's different, but we need your evaluation. And it only costs $20 a month. Call 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490, or go to mycoolinventions.com. It's mycoolinventions.com. How about that? A brand new invention every single month. Innovative technology nobody's ever seen before. You get to see it first. All you have to do is answer a few questions. Call 1-888-877-0490.
Imagine the radio station you're listening to right now. You're going to be able to listen to this anywhere in the world. As long as you have a Wi-Fi internet spot, how would you like to be able to listen to it in your office? Maybe in your den. Maybe perhaps in your bedroom or even outside on the patio. What I'm talking about is internet Wi-Fi radio. Yes, it's not hard to do. You can own it today. We actually have on mycoolgadgets.com the number one rated best internet radio as of right now. With over 200,000 reviews scanned, it's rated number one, a 9.9. You don't get any higher. It's called the Grace Encore Internet Radio. You can receive up to 50,000 radio stations, podcasts, and even content from iHeartRadio, from SiriusXM, Rhapsody, and all of the other streaming services out in the internet today. Imagine having all that entertainment. You like sports? How would you like to have thousands of sports channels to listen to? Your favorite sports, you like soccer. Maybe it's all happening in Europe. Don't worry about it. You're here in America. What we have is the Grace Encore Internet Radio. Now, it is a deal of the week on mycoolgadgets.com. Normally, these would retail anywhere from $700 to $900. But if you call us right now, call our toll-free number, 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490. This $700 to $900 radio is yours for only $249. You heard me right, just $249. Call us now at 1-888-877-0490 or go to mycoolgadgets.com. With an incredible digital amplifier, it has front-facing speakers, a subwoofer as well. You'll hear incredible dynamic, crisp audio, enough volume to fill a room. plus listen to over 50,000 radio stations. What are you waiting for? Call us right now, 1-888-877-0490. Check it out on mycoolgadgets.com. You can even see the article where it's rated the number one internet radio in the marketplace today. Call 1-888-877-0490.
You're listening to America's Talk Radio Network, where America talks.
Back to Animals Today. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Lori Marino, SeaWorld's lead veterinarian, said that the key difference about the SeaWorld whales and whales in the wild are the people, as if that were a good thing. It's bizarre to hear, Lori.
Well, it's a bizarre statement, and he knows better than that. The fact is that the difference between being an orca in SeaWorld and being an orca in a natural setting is essentially everything. Everything that an orca needs to thrive is taken away at SeaWorld. Let me repeat, everything they need to thrive is taken away at SeaWorld. And the fact that there are people there just adds to the distress that these animals feel, because they were not meant to be around people. And I think part of that, you know, part of this is why, you know, so many dolphins and whale infants die in captivity. You usually see photos of trainers jumping in the water with wetsuits, you know, handling the baby, getting in the water with the mother and the baby. And this is not the way these animals evolve to have their babies. And the result is often disastrous. So it's a ridiculous statement.
Is there a way to know if whales are happy or unhappy in SeaWorld or in captivity, Lori?
There are two ways to know whether an animal is happy. And, of course, no one really knows what happy is to an orca or even to another human being. However, all that aside, there are two very important ways that we can gauge the welfare of anyone. First, we can look at how they're living and how that relates to how they evolved to live, how they were adapted to live. Is how they're living very different from their natural setting? If it is, then that tells you that you're trying to force this animal into an adaptive setting that it doesn't have any way to cope with. And the other is just the abundance of science on the welfare, the fact that they live shorter lives in captivity than in the wild. That's absolutely clear. Their mortality rates are higher, and that they die of stress-related diseases in captivity. And they exhibit all kinds of signs of psychological disturbance, like behavioral stereotypies and self-mutilation. There's an abundance of data to show that the welfare of orcas and indeed other cetaceans in these theme parks is just very poor.
The lead trainer tried to create some explanation as to why Tillicum killed Don Brandschau, but sounded to me like nonsense. What was your reaction to that, Lori?
Well, it sounded to me like she was going for the original hypothesis that was made up about him pulling on her ponytail,
yeah,
and somehow mistaking her ponytail for a toy and playing with her and accidentally pulling her into the water. And that's, we know now that that's not what happened, and that's not the kind of thing that would happen with such an intelligent animal. I think she was, I don't know what she was trying to do, but I think, you know, it certainly downplayed the fact that when it comes to what Tillicum did and the fact that he's killed three people, we're dealing with an individual who is psychologically damaged. Because of what they did to him, taking him away from his mother and his social group when he was only about 3 years old, and transferring him in and out of one facility after another, and now keeping him in these small tanks, he's traumatized, and he's emotionally disturbed, And they don't want to admit that, so they try to downplay what happened.
One point that Stossel almost seemed to make is what could be or should be done with the whales in captivity. And I know you're very interested in this, Lori. Do they get released into the open seas?
I think we have to take each one on a case-by-case basis. In the case of orcas, there are a few left in captivity who were born in the wild. And, of course, you know, if they were born in the wild, most of them have been in captivity for decades now, and they would really need to be, you know, extensively rehabilitated in order to even know whether or not they could be released. For those that are born in captivity, chances are that most of them cannot be released, but that doesn't mean that they cannot go to better circumstances. And in this case, it would be sea pens, retirement, sanctuaries, where they can feel the ocean, where they can regain some of the autonomy that was taken away from them from the time they were born. You know, we have sanctuaries for elephants and monkeys and tigers and lions. We don't have a single sanctuary in North America for captive cetaceans, and we're hoping to change that.
They also tried to make the argument that places like SeaWorld are necessary to create a connection between people or children and animals, to see them eye to eye. Can you respond to that, Lori?
Well, SeaWorld has been making that claim for a very long time now, and they have not produced a stitch of evidence to support that claim. And I've looked. I've looked at the evidence. I've evaluated what they claim is evidence for the educational value of going to see, you know, these shows, and the evidence is just not there. So it's up to them to produce it, and they haven't done so.
Lori, there's a recent SeaWorld commercial showing two trainers making claims how well SeaWorld treats their animals and how much they love the animals. Can you comment on that?
Well, I mean, what can I say? It's typical SeaWorld. I mean, it's an attempt to try to persuade, you know, the people watching TV that they really have the interest of the animals at heart, and that their number one interest and priority is the welfare of the animals. I mean, that's what they do, and they do that as soon as you walk through the turnstiles. And so it's not surprising that it would be this kind of commercial. I can say that, you know, most people that I know that have seen it have not thought it to be a very interesting commercial. I mean, it's strange to hear people saying things like, "We love the animals, and we know you love them too," because, I mean, really, what does that really mean?
Right, right, exactly. Lori,
I mean, they're exploiting the animals for profit. So you can basically, you know, figure out for yourself whether that's love or not.
Lori Marino, thank you very much for sharing the facts about SeaWorld and whales in captivity.
Thank you for having me.
There is no getting around it. The great outdoors isn't so great for your cat. From speeding cars to toxic lawn chemicals, coyotes to cruel humans, cats are no match to the dangers of today's world. The good news is, animal behavior experts say cats don't need to go outside to be happy. Your family will be happier and healthier too, without the ticks, fleas, diseases, and the dead critters the outdoor cats bring their owners. And you will never have to explain to a crying child who or what hurt her pet or why he hasn't come home. Cats can enjoy a happy and safe life indoors. The key is to provide attention, exercise, and a stimulating environment. play with your cat. It's fun for both of you. You can hide toys around the house too. Just make sure there can be no detachable parts that can be swallowed. You can protect your cat from becoming a tragic statistic. Tomorrow may be too late. This message is brought to you by Advancing the Interests of Animals. Visit them at www.aianimals.org. That's aianimals.org.
Do you got any ideas?
I have a great idea.
Pitch it to me.
Hey, I got an idea.
Well, let's hear it.
Successful businesses start with great ideas and cool inventions. Hi, everybody. I'm John Cremins, the Doctor of Shopology. Join me and ACOS the Solutionist on My Cool Inventions every week. We continue our ongoing search for America's top invention. You could be the next one. Together, both ACOS and myself provide over 60 years of experience in the industry of inventing products and presenting them on shopping channels worldwide. Every show, we give our advice on how to successfully produce your product. Along with great information and featured industry guests, you'll also get a chance to listen to the inventors of some of the coolest inventions and vote on which projects you like. You be the shark. Now, if you have a $1 million idea in your head, submit it to us, and you can be selected to be on our show for your chance to be voted America's top invention. It's True Reality Radio, where you decide, and regular American families like yours are lifted one innovation, one inventor, one American at a time.
Attention invention and gadget lovers. Join our invention testing club called the Da Vinci Club. Every month, we're going to send you a brand new gadget, a brand new invention, things that are not on the market before, and you fill out a couple questions, and you get to keep the invention. Maybe the invention's the new octa-core tablet that's coming up. Maybe it's the new garlic cutter. Every single month, you'll get a brand new invention, and the value could be several $100s or $20, $30. Every month, it's different, but we need your evaluation. And it only costs $20 a month. Call 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490, or go to mycoolinventions.com. It's mycoolinventions.com. How about that? A brand new invention every single month. Innovative technology nobody's ever seen before. You get to see it first. All you have to do is answer a few questions. Call 1-888-877-0490.
Imagine the radio station you're listening to right now. You're going to be able to listen to this anywhere in the world. As long as you have a Wi-Fi internet spot, how would you like to be able to listen to it in your office? Maybe in your den. Maybe perhaps in your bedroom or even outside on the patio. What I'm talking about is internet Wi-Fi radio. Yes, it's not hard to do. You can own it today. We actually have on mycoolgadgets.com the number one rated best internet radio as of right now. With over 200,000 reviews scanned, it's rated number one, a 9.9. You don't get any higher. It's called the Grace Encore Internet Radio. You can receive up to 50,000 radio stations, podcasts, and even content from iHeartRadio, from SiriusXM, Rhapsody, and all of the other streaming services out in the internet today. Imagine having all that entertainment. You like sports? How would you like to have thousands of sports channels to listen to? Your favorite sports, you like soccer. Maybe it's all happening in Europe. Don't worry about it. You're here in America. What we have is the Grace Encore Internet Radio. Now, it is a deal of the week on mycoolgadgets.com. Normally, these would retail anywhere from $700 to $900. But if you call us right now, call our toll-free number, 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490. This $700 to $900 radio is yours for only $249. You heard me right, just $249. Call us now at 1-888-877-0490 or go to mycoolgadgets.com. With an incredible digital amplifier, it has front-facing speakers, a subwoofer as well. You'll hear incredible dynamic, crisp audio, enough volume to fill a room, plus listen to over 50,000 radio stations. What are you waiting for? Call us right now, 1-888-877-0490. Check it out on mycoolgadgets.com. You can even see the article where it's rated the number one internet radio in the marketplace today. Call 1-888-877-0490.
You're listening to America's Talk Radio Network, where America talks.
Welcome back. We're here with Harriet Mora, who has composed and produced a very interesting audio CD called I Am, featuring vocalizations and sounds from our cousins, the great apes, along with Harry's wonderful music. Hi, Harry.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. So, what is the concept of I am, I am?
Well, the concept is an overall story, an idea that came about by the Great Apes themselves after visiting them at the sanctuaries and putting music together after recording their vocalizations from many of the sanctuaries throughout the U.S. and Canada, and then through assistance from over in Africa and Indonesia as well. And the concept was to put something together to let their voices be heard as their voices, telling a story of what their lives are about.
And you've produced a very wonderful music audio CD with your composition. But what's your original interest? Where did this start from? What is your interest in great apes and these wonderful animals? Where does that come from?
My goodness, that started just from a particular time, roughly about 15 years ago, when I came across a particular show I was watching about a handful of chimpanzees that were being released out of laboratory research. And it was a short documentary on a public TV television station here in Chicago that I was watching just by chance. I was composing some music in my studio, and I happened to walk out of it at the right time as I walked by a TV that was on, and I saw this story about a woman getting these chimpanzees out of research, and seeing them being freed was something that I had no idea about what they were, any of this type of situation was, you know, had been going on. And so that's, you know, to put that into a nutshell, there's a lot more in detail about it, but that's the thing that got me very interested. And I thought, I was just thinking to myself, well, God, my goodness, how could anybody would want to do anything to such a creature and a beautiful being like this? And from there, then I contacted the person that I saw in the particular show, and we became friends, and she was opening up a sanctuary in Shreveport, Louisiana called Chimp Haven. And then from there, I just introduced and met many, many other sanctuary leaders around the North America.
Now, you're performing, you're playing music for some of these animals in the sanctuaries.
Yes, and that was the most tremendous and wonderful thing that I have ever experienced. A short time after going to the sanctuaries for roughly a couple of years and doing a lot of volunteer performances and things like that, I was asked, and I also brought my guitar one time to the sanctuaries just to see what the reaction would be, and that was the incredible thing. I thought to myself, well, would there be any type of reaction? What would it be? How would they react to me? How would I would react with them? But truly, in my heart, I knew, you know, that it would happen. Mm-hmm. And of course, once it did, when I started playing for any individual, of course, you know, it depends from individual to individual, just like anyone like us. And boy, the words, they could be limitless. I mean, the things that I've experienced have just been truly remarkable and most amazing and wonderful with these wonderful apes.
Harry, what would you guess the animals are thinking about or feeling as they're enjoying you playing your guitar for them?
Well, that's an interesting question, because I ask the same thing to myself when I'm playing for them. I'm feeling a lot of, quite a few different things. One is obviously very much intrigue. They're watching me. They're watching my hands. They watch my left hand fingering the strings. They watch my right hand strumming the strings. They look up back in my eyes. They look back down at my hands. And they're making this connection like, whoa, how are you doing that? What is the, you know, how mechanically, I guess, you know, that's just my own opinion. But then I feel this sense of out of the intrigue that they're enjoying this connection to this, you know, the universal language of music, obviously. The music is stimulating them, their minds, when I watch their eyes. Sometimes I've had, as a quick example, orangutans who just sit with in such contentment, just watching my hands and watching my eyes back and forth. I'll have chimpanzees that will do the same and then start shaking their heads and then moving their bodies and actually moving to the tempo, the rhythm of the song. It's truly amazing. So, yeah, what they're thinking, what they're feeling, I'm going to say enjoyment, intrigue, contentment, along those lines.
That's must be such a delight to participate.
Oh, my goodness.
That.
Yes. One of my favorite audiences.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Do the animals, do the great apes, the chimps, do you think they make music? Are their vocalizations musical or music in itself?
You know, yes, I think there is, because of course, you know, when I'm playing for them too, sometimes they will go into it, if you want to say, in a singing expression. The very first time I played for the very first chimpanzee, he did that. He was rescued and living at a sanctuary up in Canada, just outside of Montreal. And when I started strumming the guitar for him, it was a matter of 5-10 seconds. He started moving his head back and forth in rhythm to the music, perched his lips out like a trumpet type, you know, the way when they pantoot, and he gently started singing and making notes coming out of his mouth.
Wow.
And the assistant of the staff that was with me, they were like, oh, my God, he's, I was like, yeah, he's singing. So, you know, I mean, for me, I'm the musician who has played for all my life in front of people. I've been in front of audiences from half around the world and, you know, traveling and working with different groups and things. And, you know, I can pick up a lot of senses of things, obviously, from people that I've played from. Well, it's the same thing with the great apes. It's something that's telling me I'm reaching them. We're communicating. We're making bonds.
The ambiance and the feeling of the music you've created is really, really special. So I would like to encourage people. They can listen to samples online, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then
absolutely.
And then they can buy the CD anywhere, and it supports sanctuaries around the world. Tell us a little about that.
Yeah, I decided, you know, of course, the intention from the get-go, this project is not about me. This project is about the great apes. After meeting them and realizing the backgrounds that they all have endured, many of them being rescued out of biomedical laboratory research, being rescued out of entertainment, pets, and, of course, the deforestation over, you know, across the water in Africa and in Asia. Their lives have been been turned upside down so much that this is about them and for them. And for me, it's to raise awareness, to raise funds, to help them, the sanctuaries, for the orphans, the hundreds of orphans that are living, you know, without mothers, of course, in sanctuaries. And a lot of those are in Indonesia themselves, a lot of orangutans, chimpanzees as well in Africa. Gorillas the same. So, you know, this is really for them. And the project is IAMIAMproject.com, of course, where you can go see and hear the project. Yes, the proceeds are for the sanctuaries.
People probably want to hear one of the products, so I'd like to play a track. There are 13 tracks on the record, and I'd like to play right now the one called Neonate Celebration. Harry Mora, thank you for joining us on Animals Today. What a wonderful project, and everyone, check it out.
Well, thank you so very much for having me. It's been a delight, and thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner, and I want to thank you for listening to Animals Today. Make sure to visit us on animalstodayradio.com, where you will see all our previous shows and where you can download them free. That's animalstodayradio.com, or you can listen on iTunes. Also, make sure to like us on Facebook and join the discussion. Animals Today gets a lot of its support from the nonprofit group Advancing the Interests of Animals. Please visit them at aianimals.org. That's aianimals.org. And I hope you'll consider making a donation to help pay for the ongoing broadcast of Animals Today. Each week on Animals Today, we strive to bring you the highest quality, most up-to-date information about all animals, how we treat them, and their place in society, while promoting greater respect and kindness towards them. So thanks for your support. That website again is aianimals.org. And thanks for listening.
Did you know that more than half of the animals that enter our country's shelters are euthanized every year? This amounts to millions of loving adoptable dogs and cats being killed due to our nation's pet overpopulation problem. Too many dogs and cats are permitted to have litters, but there's just not enough homes to take them all in. We strongly encourage people to adopt pets from a shelter instead of buying from a breeder or a pet store. When you adopt from a shelter, more than likely you are saving a life. Please tell your friends and family about the pet overpopulation problem and encourage them to adopt from a shelter and save a life. And together we can stop this terrible ongoing tragedy and senseless killing of millions of loving dogs and cats. So spread the word. Adopt, don't buy. And remember, always have your pets fixed. This message is brought to you by Advancing the Interests of Animals. Visit them at aianimals.org. That's aianimals.org.
Here's the problem. Nail polish, hair dye, graffiti, tar. How do you get those stains out? Use Stains Are Out. Any stain, anywhere. Nail polish, oil, lipstick, pet stains, old stains, any stains. This will get your stain out. In fact, if it doesn't get your stain out, we'll buy the bottle back from you. Made with natural banana oil. Oil from the skin of a banana. Biodegradable and organic. Stains Are Out is the solution. Pour it on and get your stain out. Normally, bottle of Stains Are Out sells for $29.99. Hyper-concentrated, each bottle will make 16 bottles of stain remover. $29.99 for 16 bottles of dilution. And here's the deal. If you buy a bottle of Stains Are Out right now, we'll give you three bottles. That's 48 bottles worth. That's the deal. Buy one, get three bottles for $29.99. Call 1-888-877-0490 or go to mycoolgadgets.com.
It's storm season. Bad weather is fast approaching, and if your power goes out, you'll need a strong flashlight. And that's where the Blackout Buddy emergency flashlight begins. You'll have a powerful LED flashlight right at your fingertips when the power goes out. Now, normally, a Blackout Buddy emergency flashlight retails for $24.99. We have a special offer today. If you call right now, 1-888-877-0490, that's 1-888-877-0490, you can get two of the Blackout Buddy emergency flashlights for only $24.99. But you have to call now. Call 1-888-877-0490. When the power goes out, the Blackout Buddy comes on. It plugs directly into your wall socket for constant charging. And when the lights go out, boom, you have super bright LED lights lighting the way. Call right now. Call 1-888-877-0490. You don't get one, you get two for just $24.99. But call right now or go to mycoolgadgets.com. That's mycoolgadgets.com.
Attention invention and gadget lovers, join our invention testing club called the Da Vinci Club. Every month we're going to send you a brand new gadget, a brand new invention, things that are not on the market before, and you fill out a couple questions and you get to keep the invention. Maybe the invention's the new octa-core tablet that's coming up. Maybe it's the new garlic cutter. Every single month you'll get a brand new invention, and the value could be several hundred dollars or $20-$30. Every month it's different, but we need your evaluation, and it only costs $20 a month. Call 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490, or go to mycoolinventions.com. It's mycoolinventions.com. How about that? A brand new invention every single month. Innovative technology nobody's ever seen before. You get to see it first. All you have to do is answer a few questions. Call 1-888-877-0490.
You're tired of listening to the same old thing. How would you like to have the ability to listen to up to 50,000 different radio stations, sports, talk radio and the best music ever that's available on the internet. Now you can with our Grace Encore Internet Radio, the deal of the week on MyCoolGadgets.com. Rated as the number one best internet radio by a service that literally scanned over 200,000 different reviews. Number one in the best and the latest in internet radio from Grace Digital. Not only do you get the over 50,000 radio stations, but there's podcasts, endless on-demand content. Normally these radios go for over $700. We have the Encore today, the best in internet radios, rated right on the internet for only $249. Not $700, just $249. There are 50, and that's all that we have. Call us right now at 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490. Or go to mycoolgadgets.com. Great radio is only a call away.
You're listening to America's Talk Radio Network, where America talks.
Animal cruelty, which in more ways than you can imagine, is part of our everyday existence. And you know what? If you really look closely at how animals are treated in America today, you can't help to think twice about the things you're doing. Maybe it'll even make you feel a bit uneasy or a bit uncomfortable with some of the things you're doing or the way you live your life. And you may even change the way you live because it just makes you feel better about yourself. Feeling better about yourself because you're trying to minimize the things that are part of your life that contributes in any possible way, directly or indirectly, to any sort of animal abuse or animal suffering. If one looks closely at how animals are treated in America today, you cannot help but feel confused. You question the things you do and other people's lifestyles. These are moral and ethical, legal and religious questions. You start to question and think about religious and cultural traditions. These are where do you draw the line questions. Taken as example, the beautiful white harp seals. Most of us are horrified when we see footage of the brutal clubbing of the baby seals for their pelts. Okay, sure. But what about leather car seats or leather shoes? Is that more similar to wearing a seal jacket or something different? How about the hunters that cherish their hunting dogs, but trap, kill, and wound wildlife without any regret or conscience? Or how about a woman who loves her cute little small snowball dog as their pet, but think nothing of wearing the skins or furs of animals? And we all love seeing the pleasure of our children that they get when they're at a petting zoo and they're petting or feeding a goat or lamb or sheep. But we then see no harm in exposing our children to circus acts that degrade animals or rodeos which brutalize them. How about simply eating a hamburger for that matter or using a cosmetic that was tested on rabbits? It gets complicated. People like their burgers. Children love McDonald's Happy Meals. Are you going to take away your kids' Happy Meals? What if there were, and there are, by the way, native populations that rely on seal for their livelihood? Is it okay for them to hunt baby seals at that point? Which brings me again to the big theme of this radio show. The animals live with us on the earth, and our relationship with animals are complex. They're good, they're bad, they're varied, they're joyful, horrific. Our lives as humans are intertwined with and not separate from the animal world. On Animals Today, we're going to provide you with solid, reliable information so we can all think more deeply and critical about the society of people and animals. Listen, I used to be shocked at hearing the unbelievable stories of abuse and neglect on the news. Just in the news the other day, a woman stuffed 22 dogs in her tiny car, which had ammonia levels so high from urine, the air was dangerous to breathe. Or a farm was raided, revealing emaciated horses and animal carcasses. Or young males are arrested for shooting house cats with BB guns. I no longer get shocked. I just get angry. I get very angry. But you know what? I take a deep breath, and I pledge to continue fighting on. But I ask myself, why did those boys shoot the cats? Are they being abused at home? Are they coming after me next? What kind of parents do those kids have? What makes a person do evil things to other living creatures? Now, I'm not talking about horrible things that happen to an animal due to ignorance, like a person leaving a dog in a car on a hot day that results in his death,
or a person who puts his dog in the back of a pickup truck with the back not closed and the dog falls out while you're driving on the highway, that's ignorance and that's stupidity. And personally, I think stupidity and ignorance should never be an excuse when it comes to the well-being of a child or an animal. That's just as much of an animal neglect act as any other cruel act. Being ignorant is no excuse, and people just say, you know what, I was ignorant, I didn't know better. They say that to make them feel better, and it's easier to live with. I don't think so. A cruel thing happened to an animal or child on your watch, your responsibility, you must live with that in addition to being an idiot. But I digress, because what we're talking about here is what makes a person intentionally do evil things to other living creatures. What makes people like Michael Vick do those horrible things to those dogs? Why do people intentionally do evil things to animals? Why would someone intentionally hurt or mistreat or neglect an animal? Do you think it's the same reason a person mistreats or hurts or kills another human being? Is it the same reason someone could physically or emotionally or sexually abuse their own child or abuse their spouse? Why do people do cruel things to animals? I have generally four theories. First, no doubt in my mind, there's this fairly well-known connection between human violence and animal cruelty. Okay, so individuals who are cruel to animals have a violent tendency and usually are cruel to other humans. A child that's caught torturing a cat is likely to be a victim himself, like the child being sexually or physically abused by his parent. And the child, more times than not, grows up to be an abusive or violent person to people and animals. I think any therapist or any psychiatrist would attest to this. In fact, most individuals in law enforcement or social workers or animal control officers would know of the strong connection between animal abuse and human violence. Remember Jeffrey Dahmer, or the Boston Strangler, raped and murdered individuals? Well, guess what they started out their violence with? Animals. I mean, doing horrible things to animals. How about those young, rotten kids who were responsible for the Columbine High School killings, killing several other students? Again, started out torturing and killing animals. Okay, that's my first theory, but we know indeed this is not a theory, it's a fact that a strong connection exists between human violence and animal abuse. Secondly, and really almost related to the first idea, people hurt animals because they feel they are the victim. Maybe they feel they have been screwed by the world, or they want to take revenge or have payback for feeling like a victim. Maybe they feel that it's in their right to hurt another living creature because they too were hurt by society in some way. Thirdly, I think people, for some sick psychopathic reason, get enjoyment out of hurting animals. Maybe because they feel in control and they can get away with it. Maybe they feel empowered by being able to hurt an innocent animal and get away with it. You know what? Maybe this control and empowerment gives them the enjoyment. Is it the same feeling as a hunter who enjoys going out and killing an innocent, beautiful deer, minding its own business, and then shooting it? They get enjoyment from hurting another living creature. Okay, finally, my last theory why people hurt animals. Lack of empathy. Some people just don't care. Some people could care less if they see a dying dog or a dying child stuck in a car on a hot day. Some people just may not have the sensitivity or empathy to care. So if you don't care about something, or you lack empathy, then you can go either way, right? You can take it or leave it. You can kill or hurt an animal if you feel like it that day. Doesn't mean anything to you.
Animals Today Radio is made possible in part by a generous grant from International Society for Animal Rights, ISAR Online.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the host and participants and not intended to and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of America's Talk Radio Network, its management, and the station. All listeners are advised that neither America's Talk Radio Network nor its affiliates and owners shall be held liable for the content of programs, including any advice given. All listeners are advised to make their own decisions after appropriate consultation with professionals who've had an opportunity to consider completely each listener's circumstances and not in reliance upon the content of America's Talk Radio Network program.